In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us for the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Ken Keltner, pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and I'm happy to have in studio with us today Pastor Mark Widmer.
Thank you. And, glad to be here.
Good to have Pastor Mark with us, and looking forward to what God has in store for us.
First day of spring.
Oh, isn't it exciting?
Well, this Sunday, the 26th, we're continuing in our morning services, preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians, and Pastor Ken's going to be preaching in chapter 7, which is one of the longest chapters that Paul will ever write. And it's all about the home and marriage, family. He touches on divorce, singleness, whole host of topics there. And then in the evening services at 6 o'clock, we are praising through the Psalms. And so we really enjoy that time as well.
That has been a great study. I really enjoy it. Not just studying some of the Psalms myself, but listening to, you know, you and Pastor Wade also share some of the Psalms. It's just really it's the longest book in the Bible, and it's just it's great. We're not doing all 150 Psalms. That would take us a little bit of time, but yeah, hope that you can join us.
Yeah. Well, and then soon, in a couple more weeks, we'll be fully into the Easter season. And on Friday evening, Good Friday, our choir and orchestra are putting on a cantata, No Greater Love. And it's going to be a tremendous presentation in music and drama. And I hope that you're able to come join us. On Easter Sunday, then, we have two services, 9 o'clock and 10:30. Where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus.
Wow, that's an exciting time. That's always a highlight for us. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to come and visit with us. We're located 4470 Pilgrim Road. Or you could call us here at the church or go on our website. Mm-hmm. Well, we pick up here. There's been a focus for us in chapter 22 here in just the first six verses. Verse 5 says, Joshua talking to the Reubenites, Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh. He's calling these leaders, and he says, but be careful. Now, they had been obedient. They had done exactly what they were supposed to do, but he wants to remind them. And he says, take careful heed to the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Joshua knows, just as we can know, that obedience brings about blessings. Four results are going to be seen here with them doing exactly what God said to do. First of all, to fear the Lord. And in our last broadcast, we talked about it do well for us to fear the Lord, to fear God, because he knows everything. The writer of Hebrews said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I mean, God is the creator. He is the king. He is the only God. He is the creator of the land and the sea and all that is therein and the sky. And he is the sovereign ruler of the universe. We do well to fear God because he knows who are his and who are not. And we find in the Gospels, you fear God because he's the one that has the power of eternal life and eternal death. We do well to fear God because God sees right through us. He can unmask the hypocrite, you know, the hypocritical attitudes and actions of us. We just left off talking about Jonathan Edwards preaching that message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, that he based on Deuteronomy 32:5, their foot shall slide in due time. In other words, God's judgment on men's wickedness will come when God wants it to come. And some can think, oh, no, people just seem to be getting away with all kinds of things today. No, Be sure your sin will find you out. That was one of my dad's favorite verses for me there in Numbers 32:23. But I'd like for you to listen to this quote from Jonathan Edwards. And I, in his message, he said, "O sinner, consider the fearful danger you are in. 'Tis a great furnace of wrath, a wide and bottomless pit, full of the fire of wrath that you are held over in the hand of God, whose wrath is provoked and incensed as much against you as against many of the damned in hell. You hang by a slender thread with the flames of divine wrath flashing about it, and ready every moment to singe it and to burn it asunder. And you have no interest in any mediator and nothing to lay hold of to save yourself, nothing to keep off the flames of wrath, nothing of your own, nothing that you have ever done, nothing that you can do to induce God to spare you one moment." That's why it all comes back down to Christ. He's the one who is the only one who can save us. And so part of the results here of obedience would be, it would produce a fear of the Lord. It would also produce keeping God's commands. We see that again in verse 5. Joshua is wanting him to keep the Lord's commands. Jesus records or wrote for us, and John records for us, Jesus' words, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And his commandments are not grievous.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Took the words right out of your mouth. The third aspect of obedience is of our behavior. Israel's outcome of such behavior would be seen in that she would enjoy a long life. We must understand, as Israel did, that each successive breath that we take, my friend, is taken by permission of the Creator, and we can never take long life for granted. In fact, the Scripture over and over, you do not know what a day will bring forth. You know, James in chapter 4 and admonish people, you know, don't talk about today or tomorrow, because you don't know what will happen. You don't even know. Our life is but a vapor. It's here and it vanishes away.
Yeah.
He said, you need to say, "If the Lord wills, that's what I'm planning to do." You know, there is an implied, for any teens that might be listening or children today, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." I mean, there is an implied statement there by the Lord himself that you need to be obedient and honoring to your parents, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily assure a long life, but it doesn't mean the Lord's going to take you home early.
Longer than it would have been without it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in my 20 years working with teens, Pastor Mark, my heart breaks. I believe there were some teens that, I don't know, I'm not the judge, but they weren't heading down a right path as far as even with their own family and how they, you know, responded to their mom and dad, and possibly the Lord took them home early. And it's heartbreaking, you know, when you think you have life, you know, the fullness of life all ahead of you, and there's no guarantee of that. So we live each day in light of the obedience of his word. And yet I think our two greatest enemies are yesterday, you know, and tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, either looking back, getting defeated, or looking ahead, and we just have today to live for.
Yeah. We had one of our church members' mother passed away a couple of weeks ago, 104 years old. But I have thought, if we would ask her, tell us about your life, I bet she'd say the same thing we all would. It's just a vapor. It goes by so quick.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, I'm just looking at pictures of my grandkids. I'm thinking, man, are they getting old.
Yeah.
So obedience, my friend, does bring blessing. And, you know, the fear of the Lord was important with that. Also, that their future, that it would go well for them in the land. That's what he was talking about here in verse 3, that went back in Joshua chapter 6. I'm sorry, Joshua chapter 6 and verse 3, that the land flowed with milk and honey. You know, this phrase, "flowing with milk and honey," is actually used 20 times in the Old Testament. It's a poetic way, I guess you could say, of describing the fruitful land that God had promised to Israel. We also go to this section of how we should love, you know, because we're told to love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's our example of love. Deuteronomy 5, verse 10 describes God as showing love to 1,000 generations. The word for love there in the Hebrew is the word hesed. It's a rich and profound word for love. It's God's love. It's his favor to the undeserving. And mankind is undeserving.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek word for that definition of love in the New Testament is the word agape. It's a sacrificial type of love. And he says, back in Deuteronomy, you love the Lord with all your heart. The heart in Hebrew is equated more with the mind and will rather than the emotions. Zechariah verse 8, verse 17 says, let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. Love the Lord your God. He tells us there in Deuteronomy chapter 6 again, with our soul. A soul can be a synonym for the life or the person. To love God with the soul is to love him with all of our being. I mean, it's who we want to please.
Mm-hmm.
And then love the Lord your God with all your might or strength. As Jesus says in Mark 12, verse 30, strength is not describing a person's physical power as much as his intensity. What a great point. God's desire is that we not just possess a faith in him, but that our faith actually, my friend, should possess us. A good case in point of this meaning is seen in the life of King Josiah. In 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25, it states, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
God's commands are not to be treated as a listing of the acts we perform, but as a description, really, of who we are. You go back to the founding of America. It was founded on the life and the worship of to God as one nation under God. But in our day, many of these remembrances of the past are rapidly disappearing as a new spirit of life without God sweeps across our lands. I mean, that's what TV does. It shows life without God.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for us as God's people to diligently love the Lord with all of our complete being. And Israel was to take the law of God, and they were to use it in every realm of their life, making room for any influence that might compete with God for first place in one's life is always a blunder, and it will always be a regretful choice, and it becomes an idol. And you look at today, you know, we kind of honor idols,
yeah.
You know, American Idol or whatever,
yeah. Right,
yeah. And friends, we need to keep our focus firmly planted with the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that today you won't be distracted by the world or all the allurements, but that you will keep your heart and your mind focused on Christ Jesus. Have a great day and join us again as we're getting close to finishing Joshua chapter 22.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.